Yeah, we seem to be ready. It's audible. You hear me? Good.
Yeah,
Then
good voice.
we continue. Not much left to go in the book. And the last thing is Whit Monday is a cursed day too. No wonder that bee bit him. We know that bee that stung, bite is another word, bloom in his garden. So that's where we are. Better the seaside. So we hear the text now.
Whit Monday's a cursed day, too. No wonder that bee bit him. Better the seaside. But I'd never again in this life get into a boat with him. After him at Bray, telling the boatman he knew how to row. If anyone asked, could he ride the steeplechase with the gold cup, he'd say yes. Then it came on to get rough, the old thing crooketing about, and the weight all down my side, telling me to pull the right reins, now pull the left. The tide all swamping in, floods in through the bottom, and his oar slipping out of the stirrup. It's a mercy we weren't all drowned. He can swim, of course, me. No, there's no danger whatsoever. Keep yourself calm in his flannel trousers. I'd like to have tattered them down off him before all the people and given what that one calls flageolet till he was black and blue. Do him all the good in the world, only for that long-nosed chap. I don't know who he is. With that other beauty, Burke, out of the City Arms Hotel, was there, spying around as usual on the slip, always where he wasn't wanted if there was a row on. You vomit a better face. There was no love lost between us. That's one consolation.
Yep, bit him. Better the seaside. But I'd never again in this life go into a boat with him. After him at Bray, Bray is south of Dublin, telling the boatman he knew how to row. If anyone asked, could he ride the steeplechase for the Gold Cup? He'd say yes. Now that's the Gold Cup, right? Now I don't think that the Gold Cup is a steeplechase, but he's confusing. He doesn't have no to know much about racing. He'd say yes. Then it came on to get rough. The old thing crooketing about, and the weight all down my side. So they were always in the boat. Telling me to pull the right rein. Now pull the left. So, and the tide all swamping in, floods in through the bottom, and his oar slipping out of the stirrup. Now, stirrup is, of course, in riding, what you have for the boot. And she doesn't seem to know, nor do I know the word where the oar is fixed to the ship. It's a mercy we weren't all drowned. He can swim, of course. Now, it's interesting. This is obviously our Odysseus, who was, of course, sailing on the sea. Bloom is not much of a sailor in this sense, but he can swim, and Odysseus had to do a lot of swimming. Me, no. Strange that somebody brought up in Gibraltar hasn't learned to swim. There's no danger whatsoever. That must be what Bloom said. Keep yourself calm. In his flannel trousers, I'd like to have tattered them on down off him before all the people, and give him what that one called flageolet. Now, flageolet is beating, but it is usually used as a particular form of perversion to beat somebody, either actively or suffering it in a masochistic way. Flagellation is one subsection of pornography. Till he was black and blue. Do him all the good in the world. Only for that long-nosed chap. I don't know who he is with that other beauty, Burke, out of the City Arms Hotel. Here is something comes together. And you may remember that in Cyclops, the narrator often referred to Pisa Burke in the City Arms Hotel, where the Blooms were also staying. And now we have this from Molly's point of view. So Pisa Burke was a kind of a spy there who chatted about everything in the City Arms Hotel. What was there? Spying around, as usual, on the slip. Well, we're quiet. Always where he wasn't, always where he wasn't wanted. If there was a row on, you'd vomit the better face. Obviously, he's not a very great beauty. Pisa Burke. There was no love, lust. No love, lust, he did us. That's one consolation. No, that's how far we go.
Wonder what kind is that book he brought me? Sweets of Sin by a gentleman of fashion. Some other Mr. de Cock. I suppose the people gave him that nickname, going about with his tube from one woman to another. I couldn't even change my new white shoes, all ruined with the salt water. And the hat I had with that feather all blowy and tossed on me, how annoying and provoking, because the smell of the sea excited me, of course. The sardines and the bream in Catalan Bay, round the back of the rock, they were fine. All silver in the fishermen's baskets. Old Luigi, near 100, they said, came from Genoa. And the tall old chap with the earrings. I don't like a man you have to climb up to go get at. I suppose they're all dead and rotten long ago. Besides, I don't like being alone in this big barracks of a place at night. I suppose I'll have to put up with it. I never brought a bit of salt in, even when we moved in the confusion. Musical academy he was going to make on the first floor drawing room with a brass plate, or Bloom's private hotel, he suggested, go and ruin himself altogether the way his father did down in Ennis. Like all the things he told father he was going to do, and me. But I saw through him, telling me all the lovely places we could go for the honeymoon. Venice by moonlight, with the gondolas, and the Lake of Como he had a picture cut out of some paper of. And mandolins and lanterns. Oh, how nice, I said. Whatever I liked, he was going to do immediately, if not sooner. Will you be my man? Will you carry my can? He ought to get a leather medal with a putty rim for all the plans he invents. Then leaving us here all day. You never know what old beggar at the door for a crust with his long story might be a tramp and put his foot in the way to prevent me shutting it. Like that picture of that hardened criminal he was called in Lloyd's Weekly News. 20 years in jail. Then he comes out and murders an old woman for her money. Imagine his poor wife or mother, whoever she is. Such a face he'd run miles away from.
I wonder what kind is that book he brought me. You know, he picked up a book, Sweets of Sin, and he looked a little bit in it, but the kind of semi-pornographical book, obviously. And it doesn't seem to be a real book. Nobody has found anything like that. By a gentleman of fashion. Some other Mr. de Cock. Now, Paul de Cock was a French bestseller writer. And again, his books, as far as I know, we have a few in the foundation, seem to be semi-erotic in a mild kind of way. Mr. de Cock, I suppose people gave him that nickname going about with his tube. And Molly, in the morning, and she said to Blue, get me another by Paul de Cock. She said, a nice name he has. Going about with his tube from one woman to another. I couldn't even change my new white shoes. Now she's going back to the sailing experience. All ruined with the salt water. And the hat I had with that feather all blowy. As I said, they always had hats often with decorative things on them and tossed on me. How annoying and provoking, because the smell of the sea excited me. Of course, and the sardines and the bream, the fish in Catalan Bay, there must have been a lot of fish naturally, round the back of the rock of Gibraltar. They were fine. All silver in the fishermen's baskets. Old Luigi, near 100, they said, came from Genoa, and the tall old chap with the earrings. The tall chap. I don't like a man you have to climb up to get that. I suppose they're all dead and rotten long ago. Besides, I don't like being alone in this big barracks of a place at night. I suppose I'll have to put up with it. I never brought a bit of salt in, even when we moved in. And there seems to be a superstition that when you're in a new house, you bring some salt. The confusion. Musical academy he was going to make on the first floor dorm room. So Bloom had all kinds of plans, doing a musical academy with Molly, probably as the instructor and the star. First floor dining room with a breastplate, Bloom's private hotel. All these plans that didn't come to anything. He suggested go and ruin himself altogether the way his father did down in Ennis. Like all the things he told father he was going to do. Now, his father had a hotel in Ennis, we know that, and was a suicide. He failed. Like all the things he told father, that is, her father, when they were wooing, all the things Bloom told Molly's father he was going to do, and me. Let us saw through him, telling me all the lovely places we could go for the honeymoon. So there were promises for the honeymoon. And they, as far as we also know, didn't go. Bloom didn't really move very far. Venice by moonlight, with the gondolas and the Lake of Como. He had a picture cut out of some paper of the and mandolins and lanterns. Oh, how nice. I said, whatever I liked, he was going to do immediately, if not sooner. And then this is a must be a snatch from a song. Will you be my man? Will you carry my can? Clear a kind of poet. He ought to get the leather medal, you know, gold, silver, bronze medal, and the leather is something not very honorable. A leather medal with a putty rim, so nothing fancy, for all the plans he invents, then leaving us here all day. You'd never know what old beggar at the door for a crust with his long story might be a tramp and put his foot in the way to prevent me shutting it. Of course, you were afraid of hawkers coming in. I like that picture of that hardened criminal he was called in Lloyd's Weekly News, only a weekly newspaper that must have carried stories like that. 20 years in jail. Then he comes out and murders an old woman. Of course, 20 years are also the Homeric number, because Odysseus was away from his home for 20 years, 10 years during the war and 10 years on his way home. That's the Odyssey. For Hermione, I imagine his poor wife or mother, or whoever she is, such a face you'd run miles away from. So obviously there was a picture of the murderer in the magazine. Good.
I couldn't rest easy till I bolted all the doors and windows to make sure. But it's worse again being locked up, like in a prison or a madhouse. They ought to be all shot, or the cat of nine tails, a big brute like that, that would attack a poor old woman to murder her in her bed. I'd cut them off, so I would. Not that he'd be much use. Still, better than nothing. The night I was sure I heard burglars in the kitchen, and he went down in his shirt, with a candle and a poker, as if he was looking for a mouse, as white as a sheet, frightened out of his wits, making as much noise as he possibly could for the burglar's benefit. There isn't much to steal, indeed the Lord knows. Still, it's the feeling, especially now with Millie away. Such an idea for him to send the girl down there to learn to take photographs on account of his grandfather, instead of sending her to Scarry's Academy where she'd have to learn. Not like me, getting all at school. Only he'd do a thing like that all the same on account of me and Boyle, and that's why he did it, I'm certain. The way he plots and plans everything out. I couldn't turn around her in the place lately unless I bolted the door first. Gave me the fidgets. Coming in without knocking first, when I put the chair against the door, just as I was washing myself there below with the glove. Get on your nerves. Then doing the log lady all day. Put her in a glass case with two at a time to look at her. If he knew she broke off the hand off that little gimcrack statue with her roughness and carelessness before she left, that I got that little Italian boy to mend so that you can't see the join for 2 shillings. Wouldn't even team the potatoes for you. Of course, she's right not to ruin her hand.
I couldn't rest easy till I bolted all the doors and windows to make sure. But it's worse again being locked up, like in a prison or a madhouse. They ought to be all shot, or the cat of nine tails, that's probably a kind of whip. A big brute like that, that would attack a poor old woman to murder her in her bed. I'd cut them off him. We can imagine what. So I would. Not that he'd be much use. Not that Bloom would be a great help. Bloom, who, as we can see, is not the hero. Still, better than nothing. The night, I was sure I heard burglars in the kitchen. And he went down in his shirt, nightshirt perhaps, with a candle and a poker, as if he was looking for a mouse, as white as a sheet, frightened out of his wits, making as much noise as he possibly could for the burglar's benefit. So Bloom is not a great fighting strong man. There isn't much to steal, indeed, the Lord knows. Still, it's the feeling, especially now with Millie away. Such an idea for him, to send the girl down there, Mullingar it is, to learn to take photographs. So we know that Millie is in a photographs a shop as an apprentice. And we also know that one of Bloom's ancestors in Hungary was an early photographer. So it anyway runs in the family. And again, if you think of Dublin 1904, to study photography would have been quite an advanced profession. on account of his grandfather, instead of sending her to Skerry's Academy. That is where you learn to type and things like that. Where she'd have to learn, not like me, getting all ones at school. I think that's the grade would be a one at school. Only he'd do a thing like that, all the same, on account of me and Boylan. So Bloom suspects that Bloom, out of consideration for her affair, that Bloom would send Millie away, because this afternoon, I mean, past, if Millie had been in the house, certain things would not have been possible. We don't know, of course, if that's the motive. We haven't heard anything. That's why he did it, I'm certain. The way he plots and plans everything out. I couldn't turn round with her, Millie, in the place lately, unless I bolted the door first, gave me the fidgets, coming in without knocking first, when I put the chair against the door, just as I was washing myself there below. So, of course, you don't want to be surprised washing. And as I said, there would be no bathroom in the house, so you washed in stages with a glove. Got on your nerves. Then doing the log lady all day. That must be doing the spoiled woman or something, the log lady. Put her in a glass case with two at a time to look at her. If he knew, she broke off the hand of that little gimcrack statue. So I'm not even sure we heard of that, that they have a statue of, as it turns out, Narcissus, and she broke that with her roughness and carelessness before she left, that I got that Italian boy to mend, so the statue is broken, and mend it. So that you can't see the join for 2 shillings. And then she wouldn't even team the potatoes for you. Team is probably boil the potatoes. Of course she's right, not to ruin her hands.
I noticed he was always talking to her lately at the table, explaining things in the paper, and she pretending to understand, sly, of course, that comes from his side of the house, and helping her into her coat. But if there was anything wrong with her, it's me she'd tell, not him. He can't say I pretend things, can he? I'm too honest. As a matter of fact, I suppose he thinks I'm finished out and laid on the shelf. Well, I'm not. No, nor anything like it. We'll see. We'll see now. She's well on for flirting too with Tom Devan's 2 sons, imitating me, whistling, with those rumps of Murray girls calling for her. Can Millie come out, please? She's in great demand. To pick what they can out of a round in Nelson Street, riding Harry Devan's bicycle at night. It's as well he sent her where she is. She was just getting out of bounds, wanting to go on the skating rink and smoking their cigarettes through their nose. I smelt it off her dress when I was biting off the thread of the button I sewed onto the bottom of her jacket. She couldn't hide much from me, I tell you. Only I oughtn't to have stitched it in an honour. It brings a parting. And the last plum pudding too, split in 2 halves.
Ruin her hands. I noticed he was always talking to her lately. He suggested go and ruin himself altogether, the way his father did in Ennis. No, I think we read that, I'm sorry. I noticed he was always talking to her lately at the table, explaining things in the paper, and she pretending to understand. Sly, of course. That comes from his side of the house. He can't say, I pretend things, can he? I am too honest, as a matter of fact. And helping her into her coat, that's probably Bloom helping her in the coat. But if there was anything wrong with her, it is me, she'd tell, not him. I suppose he thinks I'm finished out and laid on the shelf. Well, I'm not, nor anything like it. We'll see now. She's well on for flirting too, with Tom Devon's two sons, imitating me, whistling with those romps of Murray girls, calling for her. Can Millie come out, please? She's in great demand to pick what they can out of her, round in Nelson Street. Nelson Street is just off Eccle Street, so that's around the corner. Riding Harry Devon's bicycle at night. It's as well he, Bloom, sent her, Millie, where she is. She was just getting out of bounds, wanting to go on the skating rink and smoking their cigarettes through their nose. I smelt it off her dress when it was biting off the thread of the button. I sewed on to the bottom of her jacket. She couldn't hide much from me. There's a lot of hiding going on. I tell you, only I oughtn't to have stitched it and it on her. It brings a parting. So it seems that you should not stitch anything, a dress that somebody is wearing, one of these superstitions. And another is, and the last plum pudding too, split in two halves. That seems to be a sign of bad luck. So.
Split in two halves. See, it comes out no matter what they say. Her tongue is a bit too long for my taste. Your blouse is too low, she says to me, the pan calling the kettle black bottom, and I had to tell her not to cock her legs up like that on show on the windowsill before all the people passing. They all look at her. Like me when I was her age. Of course, any old rag looks well on you, and a great touch-me-not-to in her own way. At the only way in the Theatre Royal. Take your foot away out of that. I hate people touching me. Afraid of her life, I'd crush her skirt with the pleats. A lot of that touching must go on in theatres, in the crush and the dark. They're always trying to wriggle up to you. That fellow in the pit of the Gaiety, for Beerboom Tree and Trilby. The last time I'll ever go there to be squashed like that for any Trilby or her Beerboom. Every 2 minutes tipping me there and looking away. He's a bit daft, I think. I saw him after trying to get near two stylish dressed ladies outside Switzer's window. At the same little game, I recognised him in the moment, the face and everything. But he didn't remember me. And she didn't even want to kiss me at the Broadstone, going away. Well, I hope she'll get someone to dance attendance.
Okay.
Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. Wait a moment. Yeah, the plum pudding is the last. See, it comes out, no matter what they say. Her tongue is a bit too long for my taste. She's talking about Millie. Your blouse is open too low, Millie said to her. She says to me, the pan calling the kettle black bottom. This phrase is, the pan calling the kettle black. I mean, in other words, who are you to tell me something? Black bottom. And I had to tell her not to cock her legs up like that on show on the windowsill. Already sitting on the windowsill, and as we already noticed, Millie seems to be quite proud of her nice legs on show on the windowsill before all the people passing. They all look at her, like me when I was her age. Of course, any old rag looks well on you then. Great, touch me not too, in her own way, and the only way. Her own way, in her own way, reminds Molly on the play that we heard, The Only Way. And we know that they went to the theatre and saw that. We heard that in Sirens. Anyway, in the Theatre Royal. Take your foot away, out of that. So somebody seems to have touched her. I hate people touching me. Afraid of her life. That is now Molly, Millie again. I'd crush her skirt with a pleats. A lot of that touching must go on in theatres, in the crush, in the dark. They're always trying to wiggle up to you, men, obviously. That fellow in the pit at the Gaiety, and Bloom remembers him too in Sirens, for Beerbohm Tree. Beerbohm Tree was one of the great famous London actors in the times of Oscar Wilde. So he was famous. In Trilby. Trilby was a novel and also a play. The last time I'll ever go there, to be squashed like that for any Trilby or her bare bum. And you see, she plays with the word Beerbohm and makes turns into bare bum. Every 2 minutes, keeping me there and looking away. He's a bit daft, I think. That was probably a man close to her. I saw him after trying to get near to stylish dressed ladies outside Switzer's window. Switzer is a department store. At the same little game, I recognized him on the moment, the face and everything, but he didn't remember me.
Well, I hope she'll get someone to dance attendance on her the way I did when she was down with the mumps, her glands swollen. Where's this and where's that? Of course, she can't feel anything deep yet. I never came properly till I was, 22 or so. She went into the wrong place always. Only the usual girls' nonsense and giggling. That Connie Connolly writing to her in white ink and black paper, sealed with sealing wax. But she clapped when the curtain came down, because he looked so handsome. Then we had Martin Harvey for breakfast, dinner and supper. I thought to myself afterwards, it must be real love if a man gives up his life for her that way, for nothing. I suppose there are a few men like that left. It's hard to believe in it, though, unless it really happened to me. The majority of them with not a particle of love in their natures. To find two people like that nowadays, full up of each other, that would feel the same way as you do. They're usually a bit foolish in the head. His father must have been a bit queer to go and poison himself after. Still, poor old man, I suppose he felt lost. Always making love to my things too, the few old rags I have. wanting to put her hair up at 15. My powder too, only ruin her skin and her. She's time enough for that, all her life. After, of course, she's restless, knowing she's pretty with her lips so red. I pity they won't stay that way. I was too. But there's no use going to the fair with the thing, answering me like a fishwoman when I asked to go for half a stone of potatoes.
Yes. And she didn't want me to kiss her at the Broadstone. Broadstone is a railway terminus, and that was probably when they saw her off and she went to Mullingar for her job. Going away. Well, I hope she'll get someone to dance attendance of her. And we know there is somebody already that she wrote to her father. There's a young student, Bannon, who seems to be interested in her, to dance attendance on her. The way I did, when she was down with the mumps and her glands swollen, where's this and where's that? Of course, she can't feel anything deep yet. I never came properly till I was 22 or so. It went into the wrong place always. That seems to be anatomical and sexual. You have to form your own idea about it. It went into the wrong place always. Only the usual girl's nonsense and giggling. That Connie Connolly writing to her in white ink on black paper, sealed with sealing wax. Of course, in those days, you could seal the letters, so you know they were not opened. Sealed with sealing wax. Though she clapped when the curtain went down, that's again in the theatre. They went to see the curtain came down. Besides, he looked so handsome. That was the main actor, the young actor in a love play. Then we had Martin Harvey for breakfast, dinner, and supper. We already heard of Martin Harvey through Gertie McDowell in Nausicaa. Martin Harvey was a kind of a young actor, a male actor, a star. He was quite famous, he cursed before. Then we had Martin Harvey for breakfast, dinner, and supper. That, of course, means after the theatre, she was talking about him all the time. I mentioned this because of an experience I had. There was an American professor of literature who wrote in an article that something in Dickens, a novel where they have a famous visitor at house, is like the Blooms having Martin Harvey. So he thought that they were inviting Martin Harvey and had him at home. But of course it means she was always talking, going on about him. I thought to myself afterwards, it must be real love to play if a man gives up his life for her that way. For nothing, I suppose. There are a few men like that left. It's hard to believe in it. Though, unless it really happened to me, the majority of them, with not the particle of love in their natures. To find two people like that nowadays, it's also obviously a romantic play. Full up of each other. That I would feel the same way as you do. They're usually a bit foolish in the head, men. His father must have been a bit queer to go and poison himself. That is Bloom's father. After her, meaning probably after his wife died. Still, poor old man. I suppose he felt lost. She, Millie, is always making love to my things too. Close. The few old rags I have, wanting to put her hair up at 15. My powder too, only ruin her skin on her. She's time enough for that, all her life after. Of course, she's restless, knowing she's pretty, with her lips so red. A pity they won't stay that way. I was too. But there's no use going to the fair with a thing answering me that going shopping, I take it means, like a fishwoman when I asked to go for half a stone of potatoes. So Millie isn't always very obedient. Now we have another episode.
The day we met Mrs. Jo Gallagher at the trotting matches, and she pretended not to see us in her trap with Friary the solicitor. We weren't grand enough till I gave her two damn fine cracks across the ear for herself. Take that now for answering me like that, and that for your impudence. She had me that exasperated, of course, contradicting. I was bad-tempered too, because how was it? It was a weed in the tea, or I didn't sleep the night before. Cheese I ate, was it? And I told her over and over again not to leave knives crossed like that, because she has nobody to command her, as she said herself. Well, if he doesn't correct her, faith, I will. That was the last time she turned on the tear tap. Oh, I was just like that myself. They daren't order me about the place. It is fault, of course, having the two of us slaving here instead of getting in a woman long ago. Am I ever going to have a proper servant again? Of course, then she'd see him coming. I'd have to let her know, or she'd revenge it. But the nuisance. That old Mrs. Fleming. You have to be walking round after her, putting the things into her hands, sneezing and farting into the pots. Well, oh, she's old, she can't help it. A good job I found that rotten old smelly dishcloth that got lost behind the dresser. I knew there was something. I'd open the window to let out the smell, bringing in his friends to entertain them, like the night he walked home with a dog, if you please. That might have been mad. Especially Simon Dedalus' son. His father, such a criticiser, with his glasses, up with his tall hat on him at the cricket match, and a great big hole in his sock. One thing laughing at the other. And his son that got all those prizes for whatever. He won them in the intermediate. Imagine climbing over the railings. If anybody saw him that knew us.
No. The day we met Mrs. Jo Gallagher at the trotting matches, a social occasion, obviously a bit for the upper classes, and she pretended not to see us in her trap. Trap would be a carriage vehicle with Friary, the solicitor, obviously well-to-do people. We weren't grand enough. Till I gave her, Millie, two damn fine cracks across the ear for herself. Take that now, for answering me like that, and for your impudence. She had me that exasperated. Of course, contradicting her. I think it's quite interesting that the first chapter has a thought of do I contradict myself? When I do, it's a quotation from Whitman, Walt Whitman. And they have contradicting in the first and in the last chapter. And I think it's quite typical, because this book is one that contradicts itself, that tells the story from different angles. And Molly has a lot of things that we find out Bloom didn't remember correct and things like that. So contradiction, meaning having various ways of saying the same thing, is part of the book, contradicting. I was bad tempered too, because how was it? There was a weed in the tea. Seems to be, again, bad luck. Or I didn't sleep the night before. Cheese I ate, was it? You didn't sleep well. And I told her over and over again not to leave knives crossed like that. It seems that, again, that's a bad thing of knives when you cross them. There's, as I often said, a lot of superstition about knives and scissors, things that cut, and pins. Because she has nobody to command her, as she said herself. Well, if he doesn't correct her, Faith, I will. This can be read in different ways. You remember the actress says, if he doesn't correct her faith, her belief, I will. But I think faith is an exclamation. If he doesn't correct her faith, I will. But it is potentially ambiguous. I will. That was the last time she turned on the tear tap. Crying. I was just like that myself. They don't order me about the place. It's his fault, of course, having the two of us slaving here instead of getting in a woman long ago. They don't have a domestic servant, a permanent one. Am I ever going to have a proper servant again? And they used to have them, so they've seen better days. Of course, then she'd see him coming if there had been a servant. The servant might have seen, if she was home, Boylan coming, and that would have made that impossible. I'd have to let her know, or she'd revenge it. Aren't they a nuisance? That old Mrs. Fleming, it seems to have Mrs. Fleming, who comes in to help sometimes. You have to be walking around her, putting the things into her hands, sneezing and farting into the pots. Well, of course, she's old. She can't help it. A good job I found that rotten old smelly dishcloth that got lost behind a dresser. I knew there was something and opened the area window to let out the smell. But now she thinks of him. There's more. Bring in his friends to entertain them. Now Bloom brought Stephen. Like the night, he walked home with a dog. If you please. That might have been mad, the dog. I mean, especially Simon Dedalus's son. She knows Stephen as a son of Simon Dedalus's. His father, such a criticizer, that Simon Dedalus, with his glasses up, with his tall hat on him at the cricket match, and the great big hole in his sock. So we have a tall hat and a hole in the sock. One thing laughing at the other. And his son that got all those prizes. If you're good at exams, you get prizes for whatever. He won them in the intermediate. Intermediate is an exam at the university. Imagine climbing over the railing. Bloom must have told her that he didn't have the key and had to climb over the railing and drop and get in through the pantry. If anybody saw him, that knew us.
He didn't tear a big hole in his grand funeral trousers. As if the one nature gave wasn't enough for anybody, hawking him down into the dirty old kitchen. Now, is he right in the head, I ask? Pity it wasn't washing day. My old pair of drawers might have been hanging up two in the line, an exhibition, for all he'd ever care. With the iron mould mark, the stupid old bundle burned in them, he might think it was something else. And she never even rendered down the fat, I told her. And now she's going, such as she was, on account of her paralysed husband getting worse. There's always something wrong with them. Disease, or they have to go under an operation. Or if it's not that, it's drink, and he beats her. I'll have to hunt around again for someone. Every day I got up, there's some new thing on. Sweet God, sweet God. Well, when I'm stretched out dead in my grave, I suppose I'll have some peace. I want to get up a minute if I'm let.
So, if anybody saw him, that knew us. I wonder he didn't tear a big hole in his grand funeral trousers. Boom, as we know, where the funeral suit. As if one nature gave wasn't enough. Or anybody, hawking him down into the dirty old kitchen. Now, is he right in his head, I asked. Pity it wasn't washing day. My old pair of drawers, they could have hung there. Might have been hanging up too, on the line, on exhibition. For all he'd ever care, with the iron mould mark, that stupid old bundle burnt on them. So the ironing was leaving a mark. That might think was something else. And she never even rendered down the fact that something you do in the kitchen. I told her. And now she's going. That's Mrs. Fleming. The help in the house. Such as she was, on account of her paralyzed husband, getting worse. There's always something wrong with them, disease, or they have to go under an operation. Hopefully the phrase is to undergo an operation. And she takes it as go under an operation. Or if it's not that, it's drink. And he beats her. I have to hunt around again for someone. Every day I get up, there's some new thing on. Sweet God, sweet God. Well, when I'm stretched out dead in my grave, suppose I'll have some peace. I want to get up a minute if I'm let. Oh, now that's it. So she wants to get up.
Wait. Oh, Jesus, wait. Yes, that thing has come on me. Yes, and it will not afflict you. Of course, all the poking and rooting and ploughing he had up on me now. What am I to do? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wouldn't that pester the soul out of a body? Unless he likes it, some men do. God knows, there's always something wrong with us. 5 days every 3 or 4 weeks, usual monthly auction. Isn't it simply sickening? That night it came on me like that, the one and only time we were in a box that Michael Gunn gave him. To see Mrs. Kendall and her husband in the Gaiety. Something he did about insurance for him. Drimmies. I was fit to be tied, though. I wouldn't give in with that gentleman of fashion staring down at me with his glasses. And him the other side of me, talking about Spinoza and his soul that's dead, I suppose, millions of years ago. I smiled the best I could, all in a swamp, leaning forward as if I was interested, having to sit it out then to the last tag. I won't forget that wife of Scarley in a hurry, supposed to be a fast play about adultery. That idiot in the gallery, hissing the woman. Adulteress, he shouted. I suppose he went and had a woman in the next lane, running round all the back ways after to make up for it. I wish he had what I had, any boo. I bet the cat itself is better off than us. Have we too much blood up in us or what? Oh, patience above. It's pouring out of me like the sea. Anyhow, he didn't make me pregnant as big as he is. I don't want to ruin the clean sheets. The clean linen I wore brought it on too. Damn it, damn it. They always want to see a stain on the bed to know you're a virgin for them. That's all that's troubling them. They're such fools, too. You could be a widow or divorced 40 times over. A daub of red ink would do. Or blackberry juice. No, that's too purpley.
I want to get up the minute if I'm late. Wait. Oh, Jesus, wait. Yes, that thing has come on me. Yes. Now, wouldn't that afflict you? Of course. So there's again her period coming. We had it of Gertie McDowell. Period is one of the topics of the book, and as I must have said a lot of times, this was not a topic that you would deal with in polite novels. So that was something that Joyce said, simply because it's real, and he has it. Of course, all that poking and rooting and plowing he had up in me. Now, what am I to do? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Wouldn't that pest the soul out of a body? Because the arrangement is that Boylan would come again on Tuesday, I believe. And now, if that interferes, it makes things complicated. Unless he likes it. Some men do. God knows there's always something wrong with us. 5 days every 3 or 4 weeks. Usual monthly auction. Why she called it auction, I don't know. Whether there was a term or it's her own idea. Isn't it simply sickening? That night it came on me like that. The one and only time we were in a box in the theatre that Michael Gunn gave him. Michael Gunn is the manager of the big theatre, and Bloom got the free pass. But normally, they can't afford to go to the theatre. To see Mrs. Kendall and her husband at the Gaiety. Mrs. Kendall was a famous actress and her husband at the Gaiety Theatre. Something he did about insurance for Drimmies. Bloom once worked for insurance Drimmy, and it seems that Bloom, doing something for the manager of the theatre, could get a free pass. We can't quite know how it worked. I was fit to be tired, though I wouldn't give in. With that gentleman of fashion staring down at me with his glasses, and him, Bloom, the other side of me, talking about Spinoza and his soul. Now, here we have something that we've read before. Sorry, I didn't prepare to get the passage. In the Silence chapter, Bloom remembers sitting in the box and the man was staring down at her with the glasses, at her décolleté. And he was talking to her, probably in the interlude, about Spinoza, not knowing that she wasn't interested in Spinoza, and she was actually distracted. But Bloom, remember, she then thought she was hypnotized. She thinks she was interested in what he was saying, and yet she had trouble doing and had to go along. So there's another misunderstanding that comes out. Spinoza and his soul, that's dead. I suppose millions of years ago, I smiled as best I could. So she made an effort to disguise it, and Bloom was wrong. All in a swamp, leaning forward, as if I was interested, having to sit it out. Then to the last tag. I won't forget that wife of Scarny, that was the play, in a hurry. Supposed to be a fast play about adultery. The idiot in the gallery hissing the woman, adulteress, he shouted. So somebody, obviously a good moral person, took it seriously and shouted adulteress. I suppose he went and had a woman in the next lane. He thinks, was it hypocritical? Running around all the back ways after. To make up for it. I wish he had what I had then. He'd boo, to boo in the theatre. He'd boo, I bet. The cat itself is better off than us. Have we too much blood up in us? What? Oh, patience above, it's pouring out of me like the sea. And anyhow, he didn't make me pregnant. So that's one thing we know. As big as he is, I don't want to ruin the clean sheets I just put on. I suppose the clean linen I wore brought it on too, because he changed the linen. Damn it, damn it. And they always want to see a stain on the bed, virginity. To know you're a virgin for them. And all that's troubling them. They are such fools too. It could be, I could be a widow or divorced 40 times over. A daub of red ink would do, or blackberry juice. You can fake it. Oh no, that's too purpley.
Saying, whoever suggested that business for women? What between clothes and cooking and children, this damned old bed too jingling like the dickens. I suppose they could hear us away over the other side of the park till I suggested to put the quilt on the floor with the pillow under my bottom. I wonder, is it nicer in the day? I think it is. Easy. I think I got all this hair off me there. Scalding me. I might look like a young girl. Wouldn't he get the great suck on the next time he turned up my clothes on me? I'd give anything to see his face. Where's the chamber gone? Easy. Holy horror of it breaking under me after that old commode. I wonder, was I too heavy sitting on his knee? I made him sit in the easy chair purposely when I took off only my blouse and skirt first in the other room. He was so busy where he oughtn't to be, he never felt me. I hope my breath was sweet after those kissing comforts. Easy. God, I remember one time I could scout it out straight, whistling like a man almost. Easy. Oh, Lord, how noisy. I hope the air bubbles on it. For a wad of money from some fella, I'll have to perfume it in the morning. Don't forget. I bet he never saw a better pair of thighs than that. Look how white they are. The smoothest place is right there between this bit here. How soft, like a peach. Easy. God, I wouldn't mind being a man and get up on a lovely woman. Oh, Lord, what a row you're making. Like the Jersey lily. Easy. Oh, how the waters come down at Lahore. Mm-hmm.
Alors, so she says, "Oh, Jamesy, that's great. Oh, Jesus, let me up out of this letter," sort of a kind of exclamation to God. But it has been seen as a kind of self-reflective thing, as though she were talking to her author, James Joyce, "Let me out of this. This is merely an overtone, then, let me out of this." Pooh, sweets of sin. By the way, some people read it, "Let me out of this poo." I read it, "Let me out of this poo," an exclamation of disgust. Sweets of Sin, the book. Whoever suggested that for women? What between clothes and cooking and children? This damn old bear too jingling. Remember, that was the first thing we heard about the bed when Bloom asked, going out to the butcher, "Do you want anything for breakfast?" She said, and he heard the old bed jingle. So jingle is a motif that we have in the book. Here it's coming up again, like the Dickens. "I suppose they could hear us away over the other side of the park, so it made a noise. Till I suggested to put the quilt on the floor with a pillow under my bottom. I wonder, is it nicer in the day? I think it's easy. I think I'll cut all this hair off me there." Obviously, she's feeling herself with the hair. "Scalding me. I might look like a young girl. Wouldn't he get a great suck in next time he turned up my clothes on me if she did something to her pubic hair? I'd give anything to see his face. Where's the chamber gone easy, the chamber pot? I've a holy horror of its breaking under me." So you see, what we don't know, Vision, she's sitting on the chamber pot and then finds it is her period. "Being under me after that old commode. I wonder, was I too heavy sitting on his knee? I made him sit on the easy chair purposely when I took up only my blouse and skirt first in the other room. He was so busy where he oughtn't to be, he never felt me. I hope my breath was sweet after those kissing comforts." She obviously had some candies for a better breath. "Easy. God, I remember one time I could scout it out straight, whistling like a man almost. Oh, easy, oh Lord, how noisy. I hope there are bubbles on it." I think it's bubbles on the urine. That means good luck and money, for a lot of money from some fellow. "I'll have to perfume it in the morning. Don't forget. I bet he never saw a better pair of thighs than that. Look how white they are. The smoothest place is right there between his bit here. How soft. Like a peach. Easy. God, I wouldn't mind being a man. And up on a lovely woman. Oh, Lord. What a row you're making. Like the Jersey Lily." Jersey Lily, remember, is a woman who was the mistress of the Prince of Wales, a very famous woman. She talked about, we heard about it earlier. "Easy, easy. Oh, how the waters come down at Lahore. She's nice and water now, and the noises. There's a poem by, I think, Southey, how the waters come down at Lahore. Lahore is in India. That's a famous poem with lots of noise of water imitated. And Lahore is in Ireland, so she's confusing this. And since it's the end of one of her runs here, we might as well stop here, though it's a little bit easier. And we still have something to go. My voice is also turning very. So next time, and it won't be long, and we come to the end of the book. Thank you. See you at the end of the week.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.